There we go. We're there. Is the public comment period. The first person I will call on is Linda Sherman.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Linda Sherman. I'm currently the presiding judge of Santa Rosa County Animal Court, and I've been on Animal Court since its inception 2 years ago. I just wanted to say that while I guess we can't quarrel with a decision that's been made to replace us with attorneys, I just have some comments to make about the process and the way this was done. There's been absolutely no communication with any members of Animal Court to advise us that this was in the offing. I got an email the other day from the president of the Coalition for Cats and Dogs advising me that this matter was going to be on the agenda this morning. No one from Animal Services, no one from the CEO's office, no one from County Council had let any of us know that this was going to be on the calendar. Any meetings that they've had to discuss our being replaced with attorneys never included any of the members of court. And I just, I think we feel somewhat betrayed. We've worked very hard for 2 years. We've been totally committed to the animal court. And we had never been advised prior to this spring that there had been any cases even ever brought back to the Board of Supervisors on appeal. In May of 2005, after we had been meeting for approximately 10 months, we rewrote the bylaws, presented them to Michael Rodriguez with a copy to County Council, and probably 6 months went by and we hadn't heard anything. And I again contacted County Council and asked, what's happened to our amended bylaws? When Dave Young came on board, I talked to him about it and said, you know, May of 2005, we presented amended bylaws, and nothing ever happened. They were never acted upon. And now today, what's before you is amending the bylaws to replace us. I just think that it would have been considerate if we had been consulted somewhere along the process and asked for our input. I've asked several times, and I would really like to know, and I would think you would like to know, what kind of revenue we have been able to raise by the fines that we've imposed during the past 2 years. I don't know if anyone has that answer, but I've asked for it several times, both to Mr. Young and other people. Does anyone happen to know?
Okay. We can remove this item from the consent calendar. That's where it appears.
I'm sorry.
We can remove this item from the consent calendar and discuss it at this morning with the CEO, and maybe he has some answers to it. So we will do that. So if you wait till we get to the consent calendar.
Okay.
Thank you. Next person on the to call on John Mataka.
Good morning. My name is John Mataka. I reside at 8505 Wilson Street in the community of Grayson. I just want to take a few minutes today as a citizen of Stanislaus County, as a citizen of the west side of Stanislaus County, to express some concerns that I have over a recent incident concerning the Sheriff's Department and a resident of Patterson. An individual named Ramiro Garcia was arrested on July 9, 2006 in Patterson and died 2 days later in Doctor's Hospital. Family members accused the Patterson police of excessive force during the arrest. Last week, over 40 people demonstrated in front of the city council meeting there. The Patterson Irrigator, the local newspaper, reported that at some point during that struggle, deputies tried to use a taser stun gun that was in touch mode to subdue Garcia because he was resistive and under the influence of methamphetamine. The police stated it is unclear if the taser shock was successfully deployed or not. A witness who the newspaper talked to reported that Garcia did not resist his deputy, sat his face, and beat him while he was in handcuffs. Two city council members had concerns that officers were still assigned that were involved in that incident during the investigation, that they were still assigned in the city of Patterson. When I first read about that incident in the newspaper, I had some concerns myself about why those deputies weren't on paid leave, because I was always under the impression that when somebody died in the middle of an arrest, that the officers were put on paid leave until at least the investigation was done and everything was settled. That wasn't the case, and so I made some inquiries. I called the sheriff's department first. I called Mr. De Leon, and his office put me in touch with Sergeant Parker. And I asked Sergeant Parker, what is the policy regarding the citizen dying during an arrest and the officers involved in that arrest, and do they normally stay on duty during an investigation? And what I was told was that there's no general order policy covering this type of incident, that officers are only put on leave when a weapon is used. Okay, I assume that meaning a firearm or what have you. So I guess my question is a taser a weapon? Because I think that the jury is still out on tasers, and there's been several deaths as a result of tasers. So I just had some concerns. And so when I'm here today, and I'll say this and wrap it up. The other reason why I had some concerns was because of the comment that the sheriff made that the newspaper picked up on, which Sheriff Christensen said that that moving those deputies is unlikely, that if there is a call to reassign them based on an emotional response, I will not reassign them. If I thought there was any misconduct, it would have already been put on paid administrative leave. So I guess my concern is that last week, and I'll leave this with the board, there's a Baptist church on Ward Avenue, and the tension, is a little high in Patterson, and somebody spray-painted cops kill on the church, whatever you call it, the billboard in front of the church. So my concern is I really would like this board to investigate, was procedure followed in this, or was procedure broken in this particular incident? I'd like for this board to check that out. And I'm formally requesting that one officer was injured. I guess he's on leave naturally. But I'm formally, as a citizen, requesting that those officers be at least reassigned or put on paid leave until this investigation is over and something comes out about what the results were. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Some point would you discuss with Mr. Mataka the authority the board has and doesn't have over the sheriff's office and what we are able to do and not do? Anyone else in the audience here to speak on the public comment period? If not, then we'll move to the consent calendar, and I would ask that item B1 be removed for discussion first. So can we have a motion?
Also move.
Second. Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Item B1.
Yes, I've asked that Animal Services Director Mike McFarland approach the microphone to speak. As he is approaching the microphone, first I would like to express my apology to you if, in fact, you did not get the notice. It was our understanding that a representative of the County Council's office had contacted and spoken directly with each of the members. We also sent letters to each of the members notifying them that, in fact, this was being considered, and perhaps Mike can provide additional information.
Do you have any comments?
The only comment, as your board knows, I've been here approximately 5 weeks, and one of the first assignments that I was asked to look into was the animal court situation, which I met with both the CEO's office and county council regarding this matter, as well as I attended I believe it was the July animal court itself. And basically, County Council and CEO's office had shared with me that they had been reviewing the animal court procedure for some period of time over the last year. And they brought up some concerns that staff had brought to them about the handling of the court and so forth. As you're aware, I'm sure, violations of Stanislaus County animal ordinances are infractions, and they are a legal crime, though on the lowest end of it. And while it is true that revenue is brought in through the animal court, this will continue under the next scenario of using an administrative hearing judge, which in my past experiences in two other counties, both Santa Cruz and Sonoma County, where I was director, it works quite effectively and is handled more in a legalistic manner, allowing for due process according to the law and so forth. So I concurred with the recommendation of County Council and CEO's office on moving to a single administrative hearing judge for all concerned. I felt it would be the best service that we could provide in that type of situation. But I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from board members?
I was wondering about the bylaws that the lady said she had rewritten, whatever was the disposition of those. But I see bylaws in our packet. I don't know if these are the same ones or something that's been revised earlier.
I honestly can't speak to the ones that Ms. Sherman brought up. I believe County Council had gotten those. I know the current bylaws before you have been prepared by Councilor under the ordinance and so forth.
Okay. Supervisor Grover?
Ms. Sherman asked the question, and I don't know who has the answer, if anyone, regarding the fees that have been generated from animal court to date. Do you know that number?
I can certainly find those out. I haven't been asked for the fees personally, but we certainly do track the revenue that's produced through the fine situation, and I can provide that to the board and to Ms. Sherman.
That would be a good idea.
Certainly. Not a problem.
Thank you. Supervisor Mayfield?
Really, this isn't so much about the fees that bring in. This animal court was set up to kind of put some kind of enforcement on people who don't obey the law, period. Okay, but what she talked about was she was being replaced with lawyers. Is that the way we're talking about?
We're looking to move to a sink. Currently, the animal court's made up of a panel of three citizen-appointed representatives from the Board of Supervisors. This would be a Board of Supervisor-appointed administrative hearing officer, similar to what is used in workers' comp cases on the state level, that kind of situation. You may do that in code enforcement. I'm not sure we did in Santa Cruz. And the person would have legal training in the sense to handle it in an appropriate legal format.
But this animal court, this is people who violate the law and they're being judged by their peers. They don't all have to be lawyers, I don't think. I think this is taking one step too far. I mean, you've got people we appoint to the court. I might disagree with it with the. I might disagree with it with the city, with our CEO and with our attorney. But that's okay. I disagree with them quite a lot. Anyway, but I don't. I think you're going to talk about people being judged by their peers. That this is the way it should be done. And I'm not going to support this today. There's no way I'm going to put a bunch of lawyers on the animal court. So.
There'd only be one, wouldn't it?
That's correct. And just to clarify, what they go to animal court on is just as if you were going to the traffic court or minor violation court under superior court. They are issued citations. These are not strictly all administrative in that sense. These folks are actually releasing themselves on their own recognizance when they sign the citation. So it does have, you know, to a certain level of force of law. And my concern is that in that context, for the public to understand the importance of it, that it be handled similar to a court-type situation, because that's really what it amounts to. So it's not the fact we're just excited about necessarily having an attorney as the hearing officer. It's just a matter of the conduct of the court itself.
You mean there's no guy on this animal court? There's not one person that gives some kind of a guidance of how it's supposed to be run? I mean, don't we have anybody in this animal court that we're talking about today that has some kind of legal training that or just willy-nilly?
There's no, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
I
don't believe there is any legal folks involved in the court itself. When we appear, it's strictly our officers that have issued the citation and the citizen-appointed panel. County Council has only been there as an observer on a couple of occasions, not as, there is no format for establishing where it's legally being handled, I guess.
Well, maybe there should be somebody that could give some legal guidance, but as far as replacing them with somebody else, I'm not going to go there today, so.
Can I ask you a question? And then I'll get to Supervisor DeMartini. Do you have to be an attorney to be an administrative judge? Is there a legal requirement or at least a paralegal?
Yes. Most administrative judge-type positions, the requirement is that you be a member of the California Bar. If I could address a couple of points that Supervisor Mayfield raised, as chair members of the board. I concur in this matter that's before the board, and here is why. When the board was formed, when Mr. Rodriguez was here, the idea was to have this board pick five individuals who had no legal training. Ms. Sherman was probably the closest to a person who had legal training. She was formerly in a previous life with the probation department, and so was in court many times and observed the court process. The other individuals did not have any training, to my knowledge. We did go and observe the process as a result of having a number of concerns that were addressed to staff and to our office regarding the processes that were being conducted, some of the statements that were being made by the board representatives. So we met with them, we first observed them, and then on two occasions I met personally with the members of the panel. And we sat down with them on two occasions, and we discussed very certain issues that had arisen and areas of concern that we had, either statements or actions of the body. We expressed concern. We hoped that they would modify some of the concerns that we had addressed, and then we went and observed them subsequently. We found that some of the same concerns still continued, and those concerns were regarding process and procedure. No cases did come to the board, but as a result, there were some cases that were dismissed outright. Therefore, when we started to review this process, and we've been doing this for some time, looking at what other entities have done, and we have now found that the best procedure, in our opinion, is to go to a hearing officer with an attorney. And what that does, it ensures that individuals who are subject to significant fines and penalties for violating the animal ordinances are given a fair, a proper hearing, and conducted with all legal requirements. And while, again, in all due deference to the individuals that did a very good job and did the best they could, upon observing their process, we felt that this would be a much improved process, not only for the county as a whole, but for the individuals and the participants. And again, when you're about to be fined significant monies, some ranging over $500, the fines may have even gone in excess of $500, we felt that those individuals were entitled to a full due process, and that the best way to do that is to have a person trained in legal procedure. And that's okay. The reason we've done that.
Supervisor DeMartini?
The County Council has answered part of what I was going to ask. That in our summary, it says that the current judges have struggled with the tough issues and situations. Do you have any examples that you can give me of what issues that they've struggled with that hasn't been satisfactory?
And this is Deirdre McGrath, the Deputy County Counsel, who has worked with this issue and the department, and in fact personally did observe on a couple of occasions the court process.
Are you asking for unsatisfactory, or what issues?
Well, just some clarification. I'll read the line in the packet. They have struggled with the tough issues and situations. They said they were familiar with animal behavior, but in reading this, I think that there must be some problem with some issues, and I I just wondered if you knew what they were.
The issues for, I mean, I can give you a couple of examples. The issues are the fact that it's getting to the heart of the matter quickly. For example, there was a case where the issue was two neighbors complaining about a dog entering the other property, and the parties were actually warring in civil court on a trespass as to where the property line was. And it took like 20 minutes before they ever got down to that. In other words, they're not getting to the heart of the matter of what's before them is one of the complications. The other is that there have been remarks made by the panel themselves that have nothing to do with the matter before them, and are statements about the animal services and how they've handled the matter and other questions, which in the scope of sitting back and observing it would be something that's completely unacceptable. In other words, they're inserting judgments that do not need to be there in terms of the matters.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Supervisor O'Brien, thank you.
I have no problem going to one administrative hearing officer. The problem I think I have is exactly what we've heard from our judges, is that they didn't get any communication on this issue, and that's the part that we need to address internally to find out why we didn't have that dialogue.
Okay. I think we've run the gamut of questions, so we won't need any more for time being.
I just want to point out that in the beginning when we started this, we had absolutely no training. I mean, I had a background of 30 years as a probation officer, and as Mr. Kosnick said, been in court a lot, but we had no training in terms of how to run the court.
I understand.
And when we did finally meet with Deirdre from County Counsel's office, and this spring she made some suggestions as to the process that we were doing and how we should change it, we did make those changes. We used to leave the room and confer and come back and render a decision. And they said that wasn't appropriate, that we either would make a decision now or take a matter under submission, and then we would discuss it privately later and then issue a written decision. I asked her recently if she had ever read any of our written, I'm the one that actually ends up writing all the decisions, and I asked her if she'd ever read any of them, and she said she hadn't. So I find it a little difficult to be judged on something that someone hasn't even reviewed. If she never looked at the written decisions, I'm not sure why they can say they were appropriate or not appropriate. That's all. I mean, again, I can't quarrel with the fact if you really believe that an attorney is going to do a better job. I'm not an attorney. I can't quarrel with that. But, maybe we have, we've certainly made mistakes. We've not been perfect. And maybe we have taken a little long to let people air their problems. But we've also seen many cases where we had two neighbors come in that were started in an argument over a barking dog, and we saw them walk away shaking hands and agreeing that they could resolve their problem. I felt real good about a lot of the cases that we've handled. We've handled things from a peacock in a neighborhood that was causing problems to bunny rabbits to, you know, someone's dog killing the neighbor's cats to dogs hurting horses. I mean, we've had a lot of different cases, and they haven't all been easy. Certainly would admit that. But again, I think you need to bear in mind we had no training.
I understand.
Thank you.
There were two questions, or two comments that came up. One was your office visiting with each individual board member. Is that what was expected of you? Were we ever informed of that?
Well, no, again, remember, this was set up by the previous director.
Okay. No, I'm talking about when we decided to make the change.
I know there was a conversation between Deirdre McGrath and Linda Sherman on this issue.
You did it? Did you have a conversation with someone regarding this before today? No. With anyone from the county who informed you what was going to happen?
After not being, I came back to.
No, the question is, did you have anyone ever inform you before today? You want to come to the microphone again for a second?
Yes,
okay. I do too, so I understand.
Okay. What I'm hearing is,
did anyone inform you before today's meeting, either verbally or in writing, that this was going to happen?
When I didn't get an answer from the CEO's office and I didn't get an answer from Animal Services as to why, what had happened to our reappointment, I left on vacation in the middle of June, having had a conversation with Christine, and I, at that time, she believed that our reappointment was going to be on the calendar on June 28th, and I was gone then. I was in Alaska. And I said, if something happens, if one of the other supervisors has, is going to appoint, wants to appoint someone else, I would still like to be reconsidered. And so I asked to be informed. When I came home from Alaska on the 2nd of July, I had papers sent to my home for animal court on the, I think our court was on the 5th of July. And that night, at the 5th, I said, I asked my fellow animal court members, I said, did we get reappointed? And no one seemed to know. We asked people from Animal Services, did we get reappointed? No one seemed to know. Mr. McFarland came to animal court that night, but he didn't come up and introduce himself to any of us. None of us have ever even met him. So we didn't know what was happening. I called Ms. Tallman's office, I don't know, about 10 days ago, and asked what had happened. And I didn't speak with her. I spoke with an assistant, and they said, you should probably talk to someone from Animal Services. I had talked to Angie Fancher, whom I consider to be a friend, and had asked her, what's happened to our reappointment? She said, I don't know. Didn't say a word. So then I called Deirdre and I said, could someone be honest with us and tell us what's happening? And she finally at that point said, they're considering going to replacing you with attorneys. And this was in a phone conversation maybe 10 days ago. But again, and then just this Saturday, we did each receive a letter from Mr. McFarland indicating that that was the intention, that this was a consensus of the county council and the CEO and Animal Services, that they wanted to replace us with attorneys. But again, in none of that communication did anyone ever say anything about the fact that it was going to be before the Board of Supervisors today.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I have some general statements to make, if I could. First of all, I think it's marvelous that people dedicated their free time. You weren't paid for it, I'm assuming.
No, they were paid.
They were paid. Well, it can't be that much to account for a living. We don't do that kind of thing around here. Is it more than jury duty?
Yes.
Okay.
$100.
Well, that shows you what I know. But in any event, I really appreciate the fact that you did this job and that you processed an awful lot of complaints. My problem is that you won't always be the presiding judge in this case. It will be someone else who's a citizen. And I have a problem with that only in the sense, not because of the past, but because of what moving into the future. Because I know there's going to be times when some of your citations and fines are going to be challenged, and unless they have a firm legal foundation, with someone who has a legal training that would allow those kinds of issues to be upheld in a court, then I have a problem with that. And I think that the decision-making process is better served by someone who has a legal background as we move into greater populations and more complaints and more types of things happening. This has no reflection, in my opinion, on you or anyone on your committee. I think it's marvelous that you were able to get through all of this. But I do think the future, in my own personal opinion, having dealt with hearing officers myself from issues, that it requires someone with a legal training. So I have to agree with the staff in that sense. We have to go ahead with this issue. Do we have any kind of motion to be made at this stage?
I'll move approval of the four staff recommendations.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
I'd like to just say just one thing. It's one thing, I think, to replace, to put somebody on there with one person on there with some legal training, that might take care of all the problem. But I'm getting the feeling here that everybody's going to go. Now, tell me, is everybody going to, before we vote on, is all the judges, are they all going to go?
Yes.
Okay, but why, what's so wrong with having somebody with some legal training and two people with the peers being there with one person with legal training? What's wrong with that? Well, why do we have to replace them all with attorneys?
You're replacing the entire board with one hearing officer.
Just one
hearing officer will make all the decisions based upon legal principles that will then move the issue ahead.
Well, I'd like to say I believe that's all well and good, but I don't sometimes believe that maybe one person's opinion would be quite right. I mean, they talked about either how fast they would be, how fast the court moves or how slow it moves. I think all you have to do is look at the courts in our county and our state. They sure don't move very fast, but that way. Okay, but anyway, that's just my opinion.
Sure. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So 4-1, the issue passes. Turn next to item 14, approval of ordinance adopted by Stanislaus County Transportation Authority.
Yes, this matter is back to you today. You originally heard the matter on July 11th, 2006, when you approved the transportation plan. July 12th, 2006, Stan Cog's Transportation Authority took action by adopting an ordinance establishing the traffic relief safety and road maintenance program. This morning we are asking you to approve the content of that ordinance and finally that you request that the Stanislaus County Clerk and Recorder place the Transportation Tax Initiative on the November 2006 ballot and designate that measure as Measure K.
Okay, any discussion? If not, we need... Okay.
Okay. I voted for this last time to move it on, and I complained about it last time, and I'm going to complain about it again. I'm going to give the people, as far as I'm concerned, the people have a right to vote on this. That's just my opinion. It's a two-thirds vote. But quite truthfully, but as you look at this, an amount of money being spent on this is local money, this is a local tax, and not enough money is being spent on local roads. What we're doing is we're spending a lot of money on state highways, state overpasses, state this, state that. I think that as far as this county goes, that local money should be spent on local roads, more of it, at least part of it. Because this is weighted more to one side than opposed to any other. This is a lot of money being spent on state highways, where I would like to see it being spent on local roads. Because people in this county, they travel local roads to go from one place to the other and to the cities and local. And that's local, too. So that's the way I feel about it. So I'm going to vote to let the people vote. That's what I'm going to do. And so, but I don't agree with it. And let's see. And Grover's going to talk to me about it. Okay.
Supervisor Grover.
Tell me about it.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Mayfield and Chairman Simon. I didn't have an opportunity to comment last time, and it concerns me that there's some misperceptions out there as to what the reputation of Stan Cog has been in the last 20 years and what the organization is today. I think that we, the citizens of Stanislaus County, can only hold ourselves responsible if we don't like what Stan Cog has been or has not been in times past. I know when I came on just 3.5 years ago, I think that Stan Cog perceived itself as a planning organization that never had any intention of building anything, and the policy board had allowed it to continue to function that way, of which all of us said on that policy board. I think in the last 2.5 years, there's been a significant change of attitude, a connection with how funding really happens for transportation here in the state of California, and a growing understanding on the part of those of us here in Stanislaus County of how we actually can expect to fund and build our local roads as it relates to federal and state funding. And the reality is if we're not doing our part, we're not in line for any of the rest of them. I think if it's inside the lines, it's inside the boundaries of Stanislaus County, it's a local road, and as a local person, I'm going to use it. The vast majority of that money is going to be spent not necessarily on state or federal highways. We only have one federal highway, which is I-5, and I think maybe two of the intersections would be out there. The rest of them are state roads. The $435 million that we spent on the regional part of things, much of that, as far as the North County, might be spent on all county roads. We don't necessarily have to use the current 219 alignment to spend that money, and I think there's been a significant move afoot between the supervisors and the mayors of those northern cities to establish a new alignment that will be able to significantly reduce congestion as we know it today. I think the addition of Mr. Harris and his connection statewide and Mike Evanhoe and his careful guidance brings a whole new ability to tap into these funding sources and to actually put new asphalt on the road or on the ground that we've never had before and to truly mitigate some of our traffic congestion that's been building for years and years and years and we haven't been able to appropriately address it. I want to be the first to let you know that I hold myself responsible for accountability and intend to hold whoever is in charge of this accountable through the years. I take it very seriously that the $1.2 billion or whatever the money is end up being is spent as efficiently as possible and on all the appropriate things. I think we are building in a system that makes us completely accountable and that the voting public can count on the fact that we will build the system that we said we'll build if they give us the approval and funding to go through. So I think it's the right time to do it. Of the 18 or 19 counties that have approved these over the years, I think it's only two of them that have approved it on the first time. So the reality is we may have to learn the system. We may have to learn what it takes for the voters of this county to feel that we're appropriately accountable over a period of a couple elections. But I think it's the right time to do it, and we need to get in there and work hard to see that this happens and then be accountable on how we spend the money. So I'm going to vote in favor of it, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Supervisor DeMartini.
We all know that Stanislaus County is falling behind in road maintenance and road improvements. While our population has grown, our highway system hasn't kept pace. If we are going to attract businesses in Stanislaus County, we have to have an adequate road system that will move people and freight far better than what we have today. Measure K will provide money for road repairs and maintenance and also provide money that we can use for matching funds that might be available from the state and federal government. Although I'm not in total agreement with Stan Cox's spending plan, my views are similar to Supervisor Mayfield, and Stan Cox certainly has a poor past track record, but perhaps that might change now under the new leadership. I have expressed my concerns before about the spending plan, but it is a plan, and the county residents, when they read the Measure K, will know what they're getting. There's specific improvements to interchange and highway corridors, and the matching money that might be available from the state is a very important component. With the matching money, we will go to the front of the line for state money instead of the back of the line, like Merced County. I don't have to fully agree with the Stancock spending plan to put this measure on the ballot. I just know that the need for road repairs in this county is great, and we've just fallen so far behind that we really have no choice now but to tax ourselves additionally to get the job done. Yeah, I'm one of the last persons who would really be supporting a new tax. That this plan is specifically states what it's going to do. And unless we have, in this county, a commitment to our highways, our economic growth is going to be stifled, our road conditions will get worse, and most importantly to me, the business will not be attracted to the county and will affect our employment and our quality of life. And for these reasons, I will favor placing Measure K on the ballot today.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor O'Brien.
Well, I'll agree that the past Bancog has had a pretty poor reputation, but I think over the past 18 months to 2 years, that has really turned around. We're seeing projects come forth. Actually, I think one under construction right now, one getting real close to going. Bancog has changed. It's true. There's not enough money to get all the road improvements done in this county that we need to. Measure K will allow us to get some state matching funds. State of California is talking about a transportation bond. That money will only go to self-help counties, and we need to be a self-help county. What we've done in the past year is we've put in place a regional transportation fee that goes on to new housing. Dollars that are going to come to regionally specific road projects, and that's something we have to do. When you read the literature, yeah, it sounds scary. All this money is going to go to state highway corridors. It's only going to go to Highway 99. But a lot of the roads that I personally travel are highways. You look downtown, Oakdale is a highway. McHenry Avenue, Kernan Avenue, Yosemite. All these are considered state highways, and those are where we need some major improvements. So I am in favor of putting this on the ballot, and hopefully the voters will approve it.
Okay, thank you. We're prepared for a motion from someone.
I'll move for approval.
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So ordered. Okay, I passed by the 9:15 a.m. Public hearing, so I want to return to that. This is a formation of a county service area number 24.
Good morning, Chairman Simon, Board of Supervisors. I'm Miguel Alves with Stanislaus County Public Works. This is a public hearing regarding the formation of County Service Area 24, Hideaway Terrace and Denier, to provide a funding mechanism to pay for the maintenance of the storm drain system and the landscaping at the storm drain basin. At the close of the public hearing, we request that the clerk of the board open the ballot and read the result. Do you have any questions before you open the public hearing?
Okay, thank you. This is a public hearing, so I'm going to open the public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience who's here to speak on this item? Seeing none, then I will close the public hearing, and the clerk may open the...
There is one ballot, and it's in support.
Okay, that makes it simple. We need a motion to...
Motion
and a second. Did we get a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Next is item 15, In-Home Supportive Services Advisory Committee Report. Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Krosnick. Jeff Lambaron, Executive Director of Link to Care, the In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority, Stanislaus County. With me today, my Executive Secretary, Jennifer DeSanto, and I'm pleased to say we have two advisory committee members with us, Rose Martin and George Sharp. We have a little presentation and then our report. First, I have a couple of thank yous. Just a general thank you to Ken Patterson for his support and guidance. He's been very helpful throughout this process and does a wonderful job. And then specifically, staff that always attends the advisory committee meetings, Egon Stamler, he's the Assistant Director of Adult Services, Maria Childers and Robert Taylor are both managers in the adult service process, and they were very helpful in this. And a big thanks to my secretary. She did most of the work in this, as they usually do. Okay. I'm doing the presentation today because of the close working relationship between the advisory committee and the public authority. And it just seems like a natural tie. I've been the chairman of the advisory committee for a number of years before becoming the director of the public authority. and we've kept that close working relationship, and so it just seemed like we'd continue on that way. The advisory committee members behind you, Kenny Brown is the chairman, and Linda White is the vice chairman. Jose Acosta is a member of the committee. Madeline Amaral, some of you are familiar with Madeline. Dwight Bateman. Joan Blackwell, our newest member. Mary Birch. Rose Martin, who's present in the audience. Connie Mullen. Morris Grubbs. And George Sharp, who's also present. And then that's the advisory committee logo. The report contains, is basically our progress report to you, what the advisory committee has done since its formation, and some of the highlights. Some of the things that we covered were speaking for the consumer. Who in the community speaks for the consumer? Sometimes they're without a voice, so the report addresses that. We have some statistics on the performance of the committee. Introduce the committee members as well. We have a section on the public authority, how it works with the advisory committee, and how it works with the in-home supported services program. Then the homemaker service program, we have some reports on that. Your board was gracious enough to pass that in October of 2003. It has been very helpful, especially in the recent heat emergency. They were able to go out and do some checking on members to make sure that people were safe in their home. And then finally, the results from the consumer and provider surveys that we've done over the last couple of years. And basically, the dissemination plan is we'll have some available at the Community Services Agency, the Area Agency on Aging. We plan to contact the discharge planners. The members are very active and out in the community, and we'll be handing them out. We'll have some at the public authority, as well as other community centers. And we'll send also send them to other directors of public authorities and advisory committees so that we share the information. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, thank you very much, and we're very pleased to serve you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of Jeff?
Thank you.
You bet. We need a motion to accept the report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Ordered. Thank you, Jeff. Correspondence?
This court has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development regarding the approval of the county's annual action plan and the amount of the grant assistance.
Refer this to the Department of Planning and Community Development.
This court has received a letter from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the U.S. Small Business Administration's Declaration of Mariposa and the contiguous counties of Madera, Merced, Stanislaus, and Tuolumne as disaster areas due to economic injury as a result of the Ferguson's rock slide on Highway 140 that occurred on April 29, 2006.
Refer this to the Chief Executive Office of Emergency Services and Stanislaus Economic Development Workforce Alliance.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
And we acknowledge receipt of these claims and refer them to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Any board member have a report? Legislative?
I do have one.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. DeMartini.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did push the button. I pushed it a little late. Approximately 2 months ago, there was a presentation to the Board of Supervisors made by the District Attorney's Office. This presentation included several things, but among them, there was a report on its auto theft unit. During that report, there was a vast discrepancy between the arrests and convictions compared to what actually went to court and the arrests that were made. I asked for a clarification at the time. Specifically, I asked for the correlation between the number of arrests, the amount of convictions, the cases that actually went to court, how many acquittals and dismissals. At that time, the district attorney, even though they were presenting it to the board, was unable to answer the questions. The DA's office said that they would provide that information to this board. It never happened. No information was ever provided. A month later, I asked again for clarification of this presentation. Now, keep in mind that this presentation was brought to the board. I was not asking for new information, but it's a clarification of why the discrepancy between the arrests and the convictions and the number of cases that went to trial was so disparate. Well, now another month has went by, and I still have no response from the district attorney's office, even though they've all the time they have said that they were going to provide this information. Specifically, I still want to ask the correlation between the arrests, how many convictions there were, how many cases went to trial, how many acquittals, and how many dismissals in this concerning the auto theft unit. I don't seem to be getting anywhere with this office, and today I'm requesting our CEO, Rick Robinson, to follow up with the district attorneys and ask them for this information that has never been provided. And I would also ask that it be agendized for the August 15th meeting where the district attorney can come before the board with this information. The expected outcomes I would have would be this. Either the district attorney provides the information to the board that they said they were going to provide, or the district attorney comes before the board and tells us why this information will not be provided to us.
Thank you, Supervisor Grover. Yes, two issues that are related. The governor's partnership, which includes our eight Valley counties, met again on Thursday and Friday in Madera. And proving once again that when you agree to be on something for one day a month and it turns into 3 days a month, you just swallow and do it. At the end of the session, we asked the county CEOs and city managers to join us and kind of went over some of the preliminary proposals I think that we're going to have sometime in the next 60 days. And I'm really pleased to say that not only did Mr. Robinson attend that event at 1:30 on a Friday afternoon in Madera, but six of our nine city managers also participated. And Stanislaus County was the best represented by far of the eight counties. And I think it's indicative of the fact that we are continuing the dialogue between the counties and the mayors on really legitimately looking at a growth management plan. We got a lot of good feedback from this group of executives, and Sunny McPeak, maybe you caught it in the newspaper, is moving on at the end of November. She's taking on some sort of an entrepreneurial investment fund as $60 or $90 million to pass out. So she's anxious to get this report to the governor as he requested. What she asked us to do was to begin to prepare the ground for each of our own boards. She would like a review from our board and comment and at some point endorsement prior to us to publishing. So I wanted to alert you that that's going to be coming. I would not expect any sort of an endorsement until you've had a chance to review. I'm pushing really hard to make sure that we have an executive summary rather than the mountains of material this kind of a study tends to produce, so that we can truly get to the heart of what can possibly be done to better the San Joaquin Valley. So just an alert that that's going to be coming. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Turn next to Legislative Fiscal and Management Report. Mr. Robinson?
Yes, I will follow up on Supervisor DeMartini's request relative to the information from the District Attorney's Office. The Central Valley Partnership meeting was very good. I was impressed and heartened that the city managers did come out as completely as they did. 6 of 9 is excellent representation under any circumstances. And on a Friday afternoon, it's even more remarkable. So I was happy to see that. And I agree with Supervisor Grover's reflective of the partnerships that exist now between cities and the county. And we'll continue to do all that we can to foster and strengthen those partnerships. It is my pleasure this morning to announce the successful conclusion of a recruitment that's been going on for a number of months for the managing director of our county health services agency. I would like to introduce our newest department head, Mary Ann Lee, who will be assuming formally the responsibility on August 5th. As all of you know, Mary Ann is currently working as interim director of the health services agency.
We did do a nationwide recruitment and found that the very best and most qualified candidate was in our own backyard. Marianne began with the county in June of 1999, has been integral to the operation of the Health Services Agency since that time. She does have a bachelor's degree in business administration from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo and her master's degree in business administration from Regis University in Colorado. We feel very fortunate that Marianne has accepted this very significant challenge. Additionally, I would like to take just a moment to acknowledge the extraordinary efforts of those persons who in the cities and the county who worked so diligently over this past week to address and respond to the heat crisis that we have experienced over the last week. I won't go into a lot of detail. I think you've had a lot of opportunity to read about it in the newspaper. It was a tragic event. We are working right now, staff is working to evaluate our response and to develop a response plan that will be in place for future incidents should they occur. We have clearly identified that this is an unprecedented event in Stanislaus County, but also acknowledge that our weather is changing. We have to be prepared, and so we are taking steps now to develop a response plan for a heat emergency. I would like to single out two people in county government that actually three people in county government who have done an extraordinary job. Dr. Walker, our medical director, has done an extraordinary job in this last week. Gary Henshaw, assistant chief for department, the Office of Emergency Services, and our communications manager, David Jones, all did exceptional jobs under very, very difficult circumstances, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to work with people of such quality and of such high caliber. It was a very difficult time, and as I said, we'll do our best to be prepared for the next incident.
Okay, thank you. Well, Marianne, the board congratulates you on your appointment. We've been aware of the excellent service you've provided in the past, and it's a well-earned reward to become the director, and we expect you to continue with the professionalism and great service that you've provided. So congratulations from the board.
Give old Marianne a hand.
Of course, we think a lot of the you know, for the change, the B actually congratulated the emergency services that were provided during this crisis. There was a lot of questions which they, of course, had the right to ask, and fortunately, the staff here had the right answers. But to go through this process, they've learned a lot. There's a lot that they can do to advance their care as we move to other crises, and this was a good training ground, and I'm happy that the Bee recognized that and did congratulate those people for the service that they provided and how fast they provided it. So, David, you can, you're the only one here we can thank. The rest of them we thank not being here. I was going to say in absentia, but that's in any event, we have a closed session. We will adjourn to the closed session.
And the closed session is one item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the Conference of Legal Counsel, anticipated litigation. A significant exposure to litigation has occurred and facts exist. One potential case pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.5C. Do not anticipate an announcement.
Yeah, that was a number. Okay, meeting's adjourned. It's right on the button.